KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them. On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Oh my, that tastes good. Oh, that gets maybe a guy going on a Thursday morning. There's nothing better.
Burnt your lip. You know, I waited out there for 5 minutes today to see if you could do another sidewalk dive, and I didn't see you do it this week.
Yeah, probably. They're probably fixing the gutters on this damn place so they don't leak right in the middle of the sidewalk where people want to walk with their mountain or with their Coca-Cola and their coffee from McDonald's. That's on a Thursday morning.
That's right.
That's only us that, you know, find those spots.
Yeah, you got her too. You
know. Yeah. Yep. They do diving in the Summer Olympics.
Yes, we got ice diving in Watertown, South Dakota.
Uh-huh. We'll make it a winter sport.
You know, we would almost be remiss if we didn't talk about non-meandered waters this week. But before we do, meandered water?
Yes, let's look at a big meandered water. Legally, you can fish on that Lake Oahe.
Anytime, any day.
And, one of the biggest fish I've seen of a picture.
Outside from Pollock, outside of Ricky Bumgartner.
He beats it.
Yeah, he beats her. This is a fish.
Oh, yeah, and we're gonna bring the guy in that caught it. You know, it's just kind of fun to find out the excitement, the day. There's a lot going on in Pollock after this fish was caught. Do we have
Justin Erickson on
Erickson?
The line from
Hankinson?
Wahpeton?
Oh, Wahpeton.
Hey guys.
Yeah, Justin, you gotta clarify now. Hankinson, Wahpeton, Farrell.
I'm from Wahpeton. I work out in Hankinson, but I born and raised in Wahpeton.
Hey.
Well, there you go. We were both right.
He lives up the road from us.
That's right.
I mean, he did. Now he gets to work way out in Hankinson.
Yeah, which is just not too far away.
No, it ain't too bad.
But you like to chase big fish, Justin.
Absolutely, yep. I've been walleye fishing all my life, thanks to my mom and dad, and grew up doing it and have a passion for it.
And do you spend a lot of time on Lake Oahe?
I do, more so in the winter. It had been a couple of years since I've been there. Since last year, you know, the ice was kind of messed up for getting around, and it was a little scary last year, so I never made it last year. But usually try to get out there 2 or 3 times a winter and maybe once or twice in the summer.
Oh, well, otherwise you have to work. What do you do for a living? I mean, everybody needs to know. Justin's not some professional football –
he's not a professional football player either, but he's also
not
a professional fisherman.
Oh, where's my mind this morning?
Not quite, but, I work out at the ethanol plant, Hankinson Renewable Energy here in Hankinson.
Oh,
I do maintenance out there at the ethanol plant. So.
And how short was that fish of the state record, a half a pound or less?
Yeah, the state record I found out was 16.2. And the walleye I caught was 15.3.
Oh, so a small one, you're saying.
Just a little guy.
Boy, what a healthy, healthy looking fish, too. I mean, that thing is not on its way down. I've seen some big, big fish like that.
That look like they're
a little
done.
Sick and they're about done.
Right.
But, 30.
Yeah, it's 31, definitely the biggest walleye I've ever seen. So.
Yeah, 31 and 3/4 inches long.
31 and a half. Yep.
31 and
31
a half.
And a half.
I'm not going to stretch it. I'm not going to stretch it for anyone here.
<That's> pretty... Right? It was a 24-inch girth, though. It had some major girth to it. So.
What are those things eating out there to make them that big?
It must be the schmelt. I know a lot of the walleyes we did catch were, throwing up minnows and schmelt, smaller schmelt and stuff, so I think they got a good food base going.
The week before, I noticed a lot of schmelt puked up in the bucket. That's a good deal.
Yeah, that is good. All the fish, you know, that we clean too are real fat and healthy, so it's looking good out there.
You know, Lynn, the week before, I camped by a bunch of guys from Hankinson, North Dakota in this same bay.
Did you really?
Yep. You know, the guys come back, fish the same spot, pulls a 15.3. Neil gets 18 inches all weekend.
Had there been some rumors of some nice fish being caught? Is that why you were heading out there, Justin?
I'd heard, you know, there were some fish being caught, but nothing, I didn't hear anything huge, but just kind of hadn't been out there in, you know, a couple of years, so I kind of wanted to get back. I always enjoy going out there ice fishing, and I had a few buddies there early in the year that did well, you know, a month ago or so, so I kind of wanted to just get out and catch walleyes. So
explain to these people how difficult that was to go to where you were catching fish.
What's that now?
You know, how difficult was it to get to where you were at where you caught that big fish with all the heaves and
ridges? It wasn't too bad. You could drive right out, right down onto the river.
Yep.
And then there was a heave you had to cross right away, but there was a pretty good spot where it had frozen over, was safe. Everybody had been driving around it, so it actually wasn't too bad.
Was that spot to the north?
Yep. Just come down the landing there and then head to the north and then around the heave.
Oh, see, the week before, that was just starting to seal up, so that's good.
We're talking...
Yeah, I'd seen somebody had drilled some holes and checked it out, made sure it was safe, and everybody had been crossing there now, so...
For a lot of the people that are just joining us on Facebook Live and on live radio here in Watertown, this is Justin Erickson, and he got into a 15.3-pound, 31.5-inch walleye out on Lake Oahe.
Right around Meyer Bay, which is one of the few places you can put an ice shack that you can actually camp overnight.
Yeah, so last weekend, a little excitement out there, and he's just telling us what... where he was and what he was doing. And let's see, the story is 28 feet of water, Northland.
Yeah, it's right around 20, it's a pretty sharp break, so
yeah,
it's in around 26 feet or so.
Hey, there's a good key right there, everyone. Look for sharp breaks. I mean, no matter where you're fishing, those sharp breaks are pushing food up against those ledges.
Especially on a river channel in the bend.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it was right where the channel comes up to shore is always a good spot.
Yeah,
we always try to
key
in
on a good spot.
Where it comes to shore and, stay right on the break. But
oh, fantastic. Cool. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I thought I had a catfish on. Everybody knows that fishes out there, how you think you got a big walleye, then them whiskers come up through the hole and ruins your day. But it turned out this time.
You always think you have a big one until you see your line kind of do that roll. It's like,
yeah, that's what how they do that head shake. The catfish, they pump your rod, and that's what it was doing. So I thought, I didn't even really get excited, and just kind of thought I had a bigger catfish because we had caught some throughout the day there. And
horsed it up the hole and realized it had no whiskers.
Yeah, the water was real dirty, so I couldn't really see at the bottom of the hole, and I don't know how I got it through the hole, but once that head came up, we just kind of froze, and I said, get him, and my buddy John grabbed him, and it went from there, so it was pretty cool.
What did you load the business end up with, a minnow head?
Yeah, I had a quarter-inch goldfish-colored buckshot on with just a minnow head.
Yeah.
Golly. Yep.
Isn't that
jigging
fun?
And,
just a little bitty jig down
cool
there is all it takes, isn't it?
That's right. Yep.
That's good.
So, wow. Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Well, will it be two more years before you get out to Pollock again?
No, I'm thinking a couple weeks.
It's time to go catch the state record, isn't it?
That record
stood for quite a while. I mean, it's bound with this comeback of forage on Lake Hawaii. It's bound to
that is a big fish
tested.
Heaven when they get the food. It's going to be a big place.
You catch it 32.5 inches and 31 3/4, and you might tip the scale.
Yeah. My friend Jim Houston, who was with me too, he works in the North Dakota Game and Fish, and he was talking to one of the fisheries guys, and they were saying how they get to that 31.5 out there, but they kind of stunt there and then just get fatter and fatter. So, it's a good food base and they're healthy.
Yeah, fantastic story.
Yeah,
Mr. Erickson, we appreciate you coming on for a few minutes this morning. Anything else that you'd like to do to motivate others to get out and fish?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a good time. You never know what can happen. I know I've been chasing a 30-inch walleye for all my life, and didn't expect it to happen at that time. You just never know. That's what fishing's all about.
Fantastic. Well, thanks,
good
Justin.
So,
we'll let you get on your way to doing some more maintenance at the ethanol plant in Hankinson.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. Thanks,
take
Justin.
Care. Hope to run into you down the old trail.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
All right.
Well, that's a pretty good deal.
That's a great story.
I love
still
it.
Excited.
Yep.
I mean,
wouldn't
he
you
did
be?
Really good. You know, sometimes when you get these... guys that, aren't used to talking on the radio, you never know what you're going to get. I know, you hear some boring interviews. That guy was still excited. Good.
Yeah,
we could have talked to him for another 10 minutes. It wouldn't have gotten tired of that.
No, he's good. And he was excited. You know, I guess my brother was in the bar at our old resort in Pollock on Saturday night.
That's a good place for a Jensen.
Yep, that's right. And he brought that fish in, and I guess the whole place just went nuts.
Oh, there had to have been a buzz.
Oh, I think there was before he came in, but it was probably a little more when he left.
Good morning, Andy Fiolka. Andy caught a nice fish out in
saw that
out on the Columbia River too. 35 inches. Got
That's
his
a fun
lifetime
place to
best.
Fish.
So one day we'll get Andy on the horn too.
I would like
Josh
to get
Loeb,
out there
who puts a lot of time in out on that stretch of the river, is joining us. I saw Eric Olson made a comment earlier. Good morning again to everyone. We went from big fish catching on Lake Oahe up by Pollock. Yep. Justin Erickson. And, you know, there's a lot of – I haven't kept up with it, Neil. I really haven't. I've stayed out of the emotion this year because I just kind of – you know, there's a few things in life, family and business, that I have to be careful with. And yep. Non-meandered waters doesn't do any good for either one of those in my world. But Neil has kept up with it for a long time. He's followed it through the legislation, and I think tomorrow night you're going to speak
tonight.
On it. Oh, gosh, this
tonight,
is Thursday.
Walleyes Unlimited.
Tonight.
Pier 81.
Walleyes Unlimited, Pier 81, south of Watertown, about 18, 20 miles, yep. 22 miles, right in that area, down there by Ponset.
Yes, right on Lake Ponset. That's where the pier part comes in.
Yes.
It's on Highway 81. That's the 81 part.
So brave the weather. Support your Walleyes Unlimited.
Yeah.
The Eastern, Northeastern, South Dakota, what are they calling?
Glacial Lakes Chapter.
Glacial Lakes Chapter. We're going to be talking about this. The legislation's done.
It's over with.
Yeah, there's nothing else a person can do now.
Well, we can refer it.
You can refer it. And all right. Talk about that, Neil.
I would guess that there's going to be a petition circulating. Somebody's going to organize a referral to refer that back to the voters, I would think.
Oh, boy.
If it doesn't get caught up in court before that, because I think there's a federation in the state that's going to probably take him to court.
That made me cough. Oh, good morning, Zach Hunky. Zach's been involved in the conversations.
Absolutely. You know, without getting real political, the vote went exactly the way we thought it would go.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it actually did. They had a good run at another bill on 199. I saw. I didn't look up anything until yesterday. I thought I'm going to stay out of this thing.
Read it, but it was one of them deals. I'm surprised it got the votes that it got.
16-19, it went down on Monday or Tuesday.
Yep.
And that was a pretty good run for
It was.
You make your comments, Neil.
Had that have been more of a compromise than a one-sided bill, it would have passed. Not that the bill that was passed is definitely one-sided, but the Wildlife Federation put one out that was also one-sided.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to have a true compromise in the state, we need to actually compromise, not try to get everything in every bill.
This bill, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be signed by the governor.
Oh, yeah.
Does it need to go through the House yet?
It does, but I think
not
that's...
Not a problem there?
Well...
Maybe.
Maybe, but
so it's
not
a done deal.
It's
it passed the Senate. That's usually the challenge.
That's
side.
The challenge. But the one thing that's different about this is when it comes to landowners, the major metropolitan areas have more representatives in the House of Representatives than they do in the state. So it might, I don't know. I don't think it will, but it could. It could go that way.
I see. Because it's kind of turned into a landowner versus
sportsman built.
Sportsmen
issue.
And the sportsmen are landowners also, but yep.
But
not
it shouldn't
always.
Have been that issue. I mean, we could have found a decent compromise for this because it was bad the old way. It's bad the way it is now. If cooler heads would have prevailed, we could have had a good bill. But
yeah, I read a little bit on the radical side on the sportsmen. And come on, people. Yep. Don't be so radical about these things.
Amen.
You drive the 90% of us that are trying to be in the middle and be logical about issues. That 5% on the fringe just...
Yep. Well, when you're that radical and you're that far out there, you speak too loud. You know, I remember someone telling me that you never trust a dumb person with an opinion. And sometimes some of those radical people get to be that because they get to be too loud.
And they're the ones that... they're the ones that call the radio stations and the newspaper.
And have their own radio show and things like that.
There you go, everyone. You heard it. That's as straight as you're going to get it right there. Okay, so what actually happened? The bill that was passed by the summer study last year that was created by the lobbyists.
Yep, and wrote by special interest groups is now law until 2021.
Okay, unless it's
referred back to the voters, which, from what I've understood, I think is already in the works.
Okay.
I think.
And that allows a landowner to buoy off areas where he owns the land underneath the water.
Yep.
All right. So, essentially, you're coming to South Dakota to fish. We need to respect these buoys.
Yep.
That's the law right now. Well, I don't know if it's in,
It absolutely is.
Because it was designed to sunset until they decided this, and this isn't set in stone, but it's getting there.
Yep. And the worst thing we can do is get angry with the landowners because they're just doing exactly what the law says they can do.
Absolutely.
They're the last people that should take the brunt of it, and I guarantee you they're going to take the brunt of this, and they shouldn't.
What's going to happen, though, there's one access on a 10,000, 15,000 acre body of water.
Mm-hmm.
There's one access. All it takes is the landowner that owns property just into that access to shut the whole lake down.
That's exactly right.
Which and is that right. is what's on the agenda by some of those. They've waited until this day to do some of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do it.
Oh, there's one.
They have the right to do it.
Between Henry and Clark that'll have it done, but I would guess by the end of the month.
Yes. Yeah, the small one, what do they call that? That lake that's Decker Slough, is that right on 212?
Yep, Decker Slough, half of it's shut down.
Well, that's got to be more than half because it's right there at the road, right where you could get
everything
on.
Everything west of the road.
Yes, everything west of the road. So basically shut down the whole lake. I've never seen anyone fish on the east side of that road.
I did this year right beside the buoys. I was going to take a picture of it, and I didn't. I really wanted to. I thought this would be
good.
Did
you catch anything?
I wasn't there. I just saw the picture. But it's a tough bill, and I know it's a tough pill to swallow, but we need to just follow along. Don't do anything radical.
Yeah.
Work it through
the
system.
Get involved. Get, if you want, either side.
Absolutely.
Either side of the issues. It's very emotional, so you've got to have big kahunas to be in the thick of this thing. I saw a guy from Brookings, a high school friend of mine, posted something 2-3 days ago. 170 comments last night on that.
Oh, I know it.
And my friends who farm and own land down by Aurora and Brookings was one of the first ones to fire off at him. And the guy who fired off is a common sense, nice, fantastic friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So
people are, it's very emotional. And if I lost land underneath to a water that was rising, I would also be upset.
Yeah, I'd be right there.
But I guarantee the sportsman didn't do that. And there's still things you can do to make this, we can still find a decent compromise.
I hope so.
You know,
is it going to be easy? No way.
No.
Is it going to be easy?
I have three words for that passing the legislature: conflict of interest. And I would love to get into that in depth, but that needs to get referred to the voters and let the people
decide.
Yeah,
they can dig into that.
Yep.
They can learn what they need to learn about where this came from and you know, follow the money.
Yeah, follow money. And
this is a absolute follow the money deal right now that's got made.
End of the day, water is still public use. Now, it might not be recreational use, but it's up to the public to say what it is, not special interest groups, and that's what
except
we need to
decide. Except for there's buoys.
Well, now there is, but that's a whole different deal. We just threw out a couple hundred years of precedence.
Oh, anyway, it is top of the hour. Before anyone here gets in too much more trouble, good morning to Doris. Good
Mike
morning
Doris.
To Rudy Towell. Good morning to Eric Crocky. Eric's been following this. Good morning to Mike Tejan from Brookings.
I wonder if anybody's read this to him so he could follow it.
Yeah, I know it.
Tejan.
Good morning, Tejan. He was on TV this last weekend.
Oh, I know
fish
it.
And perch up on Big Stone in a nice heated machine with Helix 7 hummingbirds going off left and right.
I saw that. I remember fishing with him and Ted Takasaki last year when there was a big fish caught, not Mike.
All right. So for another week of On the Water, On the Air, we will not touch controversy in this radio show. We're going to send this thing over to Randy Grimes.
We will run it over.